Rat Pack, where you at?
And there goes the dynamite.
I wish I knew how to pull.
Yo, what's going on? It's Monday, October 7th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant, and let's unpack what we saw. It was a wild day of football. Bunch of high-scoring games, some crazy games. What's up with the seven-point underdogs this year? I knew that New York Giants-Seattle game was a trap, but anyway, we'll get into that as well. Before I do, hey, as the season wears on here, and maybe you're starting to not necessarily lose interest in season-long fantasy football, but, you know, some of the teams just don't work out. It's part of fantasy football. We can still play. You don't have to play just season-long. I'm having a ton of fun playing DFS right now, and I'm not, you know, I'm not putting thousands of dollars in play, playing, you know, the Millie Maker with 150 entries in. No, I'm playing in a couple small leagues with friends, and then I'm taking those lineups and tossing them into like 50-50s and things like that. Not trying to make the big bucks, but I like to have the action in on every single game. Well, of course, we have you covered at FTNFantasy.com. Our DFS subscription is awesome. Our optimizer, whether you're the most advanced player or a beginning level player, anybody can use it. And it has features across the board. You know, you want to go in, you want to just do a couple adjustments and make some lineups that are going to be competitive. Boom, we got you. You want to go in and you want to do all kinds of tweaks, like you're a high end player. We got you covered there too. It's awesome. And of course, there's season long stuff there as well. If you get the DFS subscription, you automatically get the season long. Of course, if you already have the season long subscription, you can upgrade to the DFS subscription and it's not going to cost you $700 a month or whatever the competitors are charging these days. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. All right, let's get into it. We'll start with the England game first and foremost. This kind of went as I expected it to go. More of a defensive struggle. Both of these teams, the Jets and the Vikings, very, very good on the defensive side of the ball. Aaron Rodgers, not the best outing. By the way, it does look like we'll get a Davante Adams trade, hopefully sooner rather than later, possibly as early as this week. Maybe he goes to the Jets. I mean, I had heard that Edgar Allan Poe was a Jets fan, so there's that. Garrett Wilson got going here, and I would not be worried about Garrett Wilson if Adams goes here. Don't panic trade him. 13 for 101 and one. Yes, it was another tough outing for Breece Hall. I'm not overly concerned about Breece Hall. It's a buy low opportunity, and I'm talking low. Like, you have to low ball. I'm not saying just because I say it's a buy low opportunity that you run out and try and trade for him. That's not what I mean. If you have somebody in your league who's doing that thing the fantasy managers do in October where they're panicking, see if you can get him on the cheap. And I'm talking on the cheap. I'm not talking giving up. Like, somebody was like, oh yeah, I was going to get Breece Hall, but the other guy wanted Gibbs for him. Not that this guy wanted to trade Gibbs away, but that's not low ball. Like, that's, if anything, that's like selling at appropriate value for Breece Hall, which is not what you want to be doing right now. You don't want to be buying him at that. Over to the other side. So Darnold, I wasn't high on him for a reason. I knew this was going to be a tough matchup, and Justin Jefferson was fine. It wasn't a great outing, but 6 for 92. If that's his floor, I'll take it. Addison comes back to the pack. Better days will be ahead for him and for Darnold for that matter. Let me quickly talk about Aaron Jones. So he was banged up in this one. And of course, we will have to, you know, obviously include Ty Chandler in the waiver tool for this upcoming week, but they are going into bye. So they're doing an MRI on the hip for Aaron Jones. We'll see if it is anything severe. You could always, you know, this is the nice thing about teams on bye. And next week it's Kansas City, the Rams, Dolphins, and Vikings. Those guys won't show up. Jalen Wright, he won't show up for a lot of people because they sort by projected points when they make their waiver claims. So Ty Chandler could potentially be an ad. Otherwise, pretty straightforward in this one. All right, moving on to Chicago and Carolina, 36-10. Chicago just handling business. And Caleb broke out like I thought he was going to. 2 passing scores, 304, super clean football for him. Ran 5 times for 34 yards. You know, this is what we hoped we were going to see as the season moved forward. Now, it was against Carolina. Put it into context, but connecting with DJ Moore 5 times for 105 and 2, getting a lot of questions about Keenan Allen. Like, dude, I'm not going to tell anybody to drop anybody because I'm not here to run anybody's teams. And I know how that goes Oh, I know how that goes. If I tell you to drop him, you drop him, and then next week he blows up. Guess who's wrong? Not you. So I'm not going to tell you to do anything. But I will tell you this. If you want to drop Keenan Allen, just make sure you have somebody better to add. If you don't, if you're dropping him for the sake of dropping him, that's not worth it. But I get the concerns, and he does look older. You know, he does out there. DeAndre Swift, another big game. Yes, Roschon scored twice, but Roschon is the clear number two. He's being used in short yardage and some passing situations, and that's it. If they don't have a blowout, there's not sustainable value here. The Panthers came back to earth here. That's not a big deal. Chicago's a very good defense. So I guess the main point, you know, other than, like, I'm not going to be worried about Deontay Johnson. And I think Andy Dalton will be fine as a super flex going forward. Chuba Hubbard, 13 for 97 and a long rushing touchdown. If you have Jonathan Brooks, I would not just simply assume Jonathan Brooks is going to be the lead back. Had Chuba been struggling, oh yeah, I would have assumed that. But Chuba has now had three straight very strong games. He didn't hit 100 here, but he was about as close as you can get. So I would not simply assume that Jonathan Brooks is a safe back going forward here. Big important point right there. Baltimore and Cincinnati. I mean, this was an absolute pleasure to watch unless you were a Bengals fan at the end there. I mean, still a head scratcher. I did not think we would be in October and potentially a hot seat for Zach Taylor, but there's a hot seat for Zach Taylor right now. Like, no doubt about it. Did not expect that, but here we are. 41-38 for Baltimore. They handed the game back to them. And, you know, a couple key things here. So the Derek dilemma almost happened in this game for Derrick Henry. Derek dilemma is any of these early down running backs. It's not just him. But he had nothing going until the very end of the game. Like, yes, he had a rushing touchdown, but what was he sitting with at that point? Was it like 41 yards? 14 carries for 41 yards before he gets that the 51-yarder in overtime? I mean, we'll take it, but just be aware that it's not always smooth sailing with these early down runners. Zay Flowers finally on track here because Lamar had to throw the ball a little bit more, threw the ball 42 times, so 7 for 111. Yes, Mark Andrews did have 4 for 59. He didn't catch the touchdown, but he was close, by the way. But he ran 16 routes. Isaiah Likely ran 30. Now, Likely 3 for 13, but 2 touchdowns. That's not sustainable. But Mark Andrews is not back. No, he is not. Rough spot there. Over to the other side, I mean, there's not much more that Joe Burrow could do. He had 5 passing scores. That broke a streak of 18 straight weeks of the NFL without a 5 passing score game. 392. He had a key interception towards the end of the game. Okay, whatever. But fantasy-wise, this was spectacular. Jamar Chase, 10 for 193 and 2. T. Higgins got going here. Like, this is everything you wanted. Zach Moss left the game, ankle issue, but it isn't believed to be serious. It's still just a friendly reminder that Chase Brown should be on rosters. Brown, of course, getting in the end zone as a pass catcher. Next on the list, I have Miami and New England. Oh, boy. This was not an entertaining game. At least Tyreek Hill had 6 for 69. Jalen Wright flashes a little bit because Achan landed in the concussion protocol. But as I said, they're going to buy, so I don't even think it's worth picking up Jalen Wright here. Mostert still led the backfield in this contest. Maybe to a, like, we're hearing week 8. I really hope so, because that'll salvage things for Tyreek. It's obvious that, like, nobody can get things going other than Tua at this point for this offense. On the other side, remember, I've said this many times. Starting means you're on the field for the first play in the NFL. That's all it means. So you could not start and still be the lead back, and that's kind of what happened with Ramondre Stevenson. And he had a good game, 12 for 89 and a score. Also had 4 catches, not really much doing on the in terms of receiving yards, but whatever. I'll take the 4.3 PPR points there. This was the most rushing yards he had since week 1. Maybe the motivation worked. We didn't see a lost fumble, so you got that. And it does seem like Drake May, sooner rather than later, the Superflex cheapo window is closing up there. I don't think he's going to be much more than a QB2, by the way, but I think he gives you a lot more than what, obviously, Jacoby Brissett has given you. Cleveland and Washington. Okay, so, like, first and foremost, a lot of people were making a big deal about Deshaun Watson walking to the sidelines when it looked like Kevin Stefanski wanted to go for it in a fourth down situation. And honestly, I don't think it was Watson giving up. It looks like they had too many men on the field and there was a miscommunication So he walked off the field because there was not much they could do. It sucks, though, and it is indicative of a larger issue here. Deshaun Watson, 5 straight games with 25-plus passing attempts and fewer than 200 passing yards. Not good. Tied for the longest such streak in the past 75 years with Donovan McNabb in 2003 is when he did it. So all of it is bad. At this point, I mean, Amari Cooper is really the only thing I can trust there, the only player I can trust. Even Njoku looks like he suffered another injury. I mean, this is like ridiculous. But maybe, just maybe, Nick Chubb. Like, I could come on and I could do the angry fantasy guy thing, because the angry fantasy guy routine here is, I'm done with this team. They suck. Like, whatever. I just can't trust anything other than Cooper. And even then, my expectations are he's just a wide receiver 3, which means some weeks he's going to crap the bed. You know, hopefully Nick Chubb salvages this, but I don't know what to expect out of him when he eventually is cleared to go. Jaden Daniels is awesome. He got it done as a runner and a little bit with his arm. It wasn't a major passing game, but I don't care. He still put up major fantasy points. The backfield is a bit of a mess. We saw all 3 running backs. Like, good thing Brian Robinson scored 2 touchdowns because he only went 7 for 18. McNichols gets in the end zone again, but he's barely used. It was Eckler who was actually the lead, and he had 1 long run, but that was kind of it. McLaurin 4 for 112, so he's putting up some big numbers there. Next up, Jacksonville escaping with a win over Indy despite Joe Flacco going out. Another 300-yard game. That's 5 straight starts for him dating back to last year with 300-plus and 2-plus passing touchdowns. Like, this is crazy, man. I don't know if he plays again this upcoming week, but, you know, we'll keep an eye on that one. I think in deep super flex, it isn't a terrible idea to go out and add him. Put up some big points for me this week. Unfortunately, I went up against Kirk Cousins, so it looks like I'm going to take an L in one of my home leagues, even with Flacco, because like it was just too much of a hole to overcome. But still, man, Alec Pierce, okay, 134 in a score. It was a career high for him, but keep in mind that he doesn't see volume. Even though he's out there on the field a lot, he only saw 3 targets in this game, so I don't know if there's much there. The sharp move is to go out and get Josh Downs. He's still widely available. He will be a top 10 option for tomorrow. So we'll talk about him, but 12 targets, 9 for 69. I'm not worried about Pittman. I know some people are. He scored a touchdown in this one, and he caught 5 for 37. I'm not overly concerned. Trey Sermon was the clear lead in this game. So if Jonathan Taylor, as expected, misses at least another game, it'll still be Sermon. 40 snaps played for him, 29 for Tyler Goodson. So Goodson was used, but it was clear that it was Sermon. On the other side, I'm glad I was onto this with Trevor Lawrence. I thought it would be a nice spot for him. I mean, it wasn't crazy. The Colts have been pretty favorable here. So he goes 371-2, back on track. Doug Peterson, still on the hot seat, but you know, if he had lost here, I think that would have been it for him. But let's talk about Brian Thomas. 5 for 122 and a score. He has been excellent so far this season. Like, there's a fair argument to be made that he's been the second best wide receiver, rookie wide receiver this season. Malik Nabers has been the best. Yep. Better than Maserati Marv. Better than Roma Dunze. I mean, he's been awesome. Now, granted, he has a better opportunity than Adunze, but he's been arguably just as good, if not better, than Marvin Harrison. More consistent as well. But I'm burying the lead because Tank Bigsby, I kept alluding to the fact that he has looked better than Travis Etienne. And guess what? He looked better than Travis Etienne. In fact, he looked freaking awesome in this game. Goes out 13 for 101 and 2. Thank you, sir. Can I have another? Fantastic performance for him. 13 rushing attempts, as I said. Just 6 for ETN. ETN goes for 17 yards. Yikes. Now, to his credit, 6 for 43 as a pass catcher for ETN. Bigsby just the 1 catch, but it was 28 yards. I mean, explosive plays come in bunches for Tank Bigsby. 23 snaps for him, 22 for Travis ETN. Uh-oh. Is it time to push the panic button if you have Travis Etienne? No, I don't think so. But this now is a full-blown timeshare where it's clear their better early down runner is Tank Bigsby. He should be rostered across the board in all fantasy leagues right now. He will be one of the top ads of the week in the waiver wire tool for tomorrow, which actually is already slightly populated. I work on it throughout the course of the day on Mondays so that by Monday night, it's largely done. I'll have a few additions on Tuesday morning, and then by Tuesday afternoon, I lock that bad boy for the waiver runs on Tuesday night, and then on to the next week. So Tank Bigsby balling out. Really looks good. Really surprised how good he has looked, but credit where credit is due to him. Buffalo, Houston. Well, there's a lot going on with Josh Allen. And I've seen a lot of people say they are done with Josh Allen because I put this out on Twitter, like, who are you done with in fantasy? And a lot of people have said Josh Allen, which is like crazy because 2 weeks ago, you know, we're like 2 weeks removed from a brilliant performance. Last week, yeah, that was not fun in Baltimore. And then this one, I mean, there's a lot to the story here. Was he actually concussed? Was it an ankle issue like he said? Why did he play so poorly? Now, Houston is a good defense. Let's be clear on that. And they game planned really well for him. But 9 completions on 30 passing attempts for Josh Allen. Like he looked like in his rookie season. That's exactly what he looked like. 4 for 54 as a runner. So at least you got 5.4 points there. But this was not what you signed up for. And to all the people who are done with Josh Allen, I'm going to keep banging this drum. You created your own problem here by drafting a quarterback too early. You do not need the number one or number two or number three or number four quarterback to be successful in your fantasy leagues. And in fact, it often causes more harm than good. Now, if you have Lamar, you're like, oh, what are you talking about, Jeff? I'm just fine. But yeah, of course. But if you have Josh Allen, if you have Jalen Hurts, you might have a little bit of concern. If you have Patrick Mahomes, you have a lot of concern. That's 3 out of the top 4 this year. So I think he's still going to be fine, but man, the only thing that was good was James Cook. And honestly, I thought he looked great yet again, 20 for 82. I mean, not a great yards per carry, but he did what was asked of him. He scored the touchdown in the red area of the field. He was just fine. Over to the other side, Nico hurt. Doesn't seem like it's a major injury, but you never quite know. Be prepared. If he does miss time, I'd expect an uptick for Tank Dell. Like, yes, Xavier Hutchinson would play, but I'd expect an uptick for Tank Dell. And then obviously Diggs. Diggs still doesn't get 100 yards against his old team. Hopefully he avoided the backfield. Yes, Cam Akers scored a touchdown, but it was a mess. And Agumba Wale actually touched the ball 21 times. Agumba Wale did. That's how they think of Cam Akers right now. Hopefully Mixon will be back, but it's like every week now. Every week it's like, oh yeah, he could be back. I mean, come on. Anyway, Vegas and Denver. Well, Denver had a 100-yard touchdown return from Pat Surtain. My two top streaming defenses each had 100-plus-yard touchdown return. It's a shame we don't get points for the yards, but that's pretty good. That'll never happen again. But either way, I'm glad it happened once. Yeah, Bo Nix looked fine. I mean, yeah, he's bickering a little bit with Sean Payton, but I mean, that happens in football games. 206 and 2. He did that Drew Brees, like, jump up and point the ball over the, you know, break the plane of the goal with the ball. That's such a dangerous play, but whatever. If you're fed up with Cortland Sutton, I mean, the dude had all of their yards last week. He scored a touchdown. You know, he scored the week before. Whatever. It's one game. And he's like a wide receiver 4 anyway, so I don't know what we're really expecting there. Javonte Williams still in the lead, though McLaughlin scored the touchdown, of course. Over to the other side, we could see Aiden O'Connell as the starter this week because Minshew was benched. 2 interceptions for Minshew, did not look good. Bowers looked amazing, 8 for 97 and a touchdown. He's the top target with Adams out of the mix, and I don't think we ever see Adams in a Raiders uniform again. Myers, 6 for 72. Tucker, 2 for 18. So it's clear it's going to be Bowers and Myers. And I don't think that's surprising at all. As far as the backfield, more Amir Abdullah than I'd hoped for. Alexander Mattison, 15 for 38. So there's the Minnesota Madison that we know. 2 for 23. Meanwhile, Abdullah goes 5 for 42 and a touchdown. Wonderful. Thanks. So good. Thank you. All right, moving on to the next game. Arizona-San Francisco. Oh, hello, Arizona. Okay, I see you. Showing up in this one, taking this game down. Kyler Murray with a 50-yard run. that he knew within like 2 yards it was going to be a touchdown. That was awesome. 7 for 83 and a score for him on the ground. 195 and 1. Like, he was fine, even though not big passing yardage numbers against San Francisco. I'll give it to him. McBride managed to play through. So I got a lot of questions about McBride. Like, oh, is he going to play? I'm worried. My secret, and it's not a secret, is when I wake up on Sundays. Now, I wake up probably earlier than most listeners because I have to get up for the TV show. So I'm up at 3:45. One of the first things I do when I wake up, when that alarm goes off and I open up the cell phone, I go to Adam Schefter's Twitter and then I go to Ian Rappaport's Twitter. And usually overnight they will put out, you know, a couple tweets on players. Like, for example, McBride was expected to play. If they say that, it's not like they're 50-50 on these things. Like, they're like 95% right or even greater than that. And then you just know, and then you don't have to worry the rest of the day. Like, that's the secret. And it's not really a secret. Marvin Harrison Jr., not a good game, but he did have seven targets. Maybe a buy low opportunity if you can get really low on him. Michael Wilson, he'll be a waiver ad this week. Over to the other side, Jordan Mason, 14 for 89. Runs hard, but here's the one difference between Jordan Mason, main difference between him and Christian McCaffrey. One catch for 9 yards. In a game like this, McCaffrey would have had, what, 5, 6, 7 catches. Meanwhile, the work just goes to Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle, not even Debo or Juwan Jennings. This was an Ayuk game, 8 for 147, so hopefully that squashes some of the concerns that people had about him. Kittle, every game he has been that he has played in, because he missed one game, he's been a top 10 fantasy tight end. He, for my money, has been the best tight end in all of fantasy this year. And don't give me the Dallas Goedert crap. People were getting all that mad at me when I was saying, yeah, I would drop him for somebody else during his bye. I can't drop the number one tight end. Like, he's not the number one tight end. I understand that, yeah, scoring-wise, but he is not the number one tight end. Like, Dallas Goedert's like top 12, fine. If you don't want to get rid of him, fine. But anything out of like the top 5 or 6 is basically a streamer at this point for me. So I would have no problem with that. And really, for my money, George Kittle has been the cream of the crop. Now, that could change after tonight. If Kelsey goes out and has a big game, that could change. But Kittle has been so stinking good. And he played through injury for this one as well. Tough loss for them, but overall not concerned about the fantasy production. One other quick thing. So McCaffrey, I'm getting a lot of questions like, oh, with McCaffrey potentially coming back, what do you do with Mason? Well, you can do one of two things. You could ride this thing into the ground, which, given the nature of McCaffrey's injury, you could still end up having an applied value guy in Jordan Mason that turns back to real value in short order. Not to get anybody concerned out there. Or you could try and trade Jordan Mason to the Christian McCaffrey manager. Either one is fine. There's no right answer here. But I do still notice that a lot of fantasy managers feel like, you know, like idle hands, like it's a bad thing to just not do things. And sometimes, no, it actually is a good thing. Like, you don't have to be extremely active, overactive. I find that a lot of fantasy managers who struggle, especially as you get into December, the reason why they struggled is they were way too active in September, October, potentially November. So maybe riding it into the ground, maybe trading it if you can get something good for him. But I'm not trading Mason for a bag of magic beans. I'm going to tell that McCaffrey manager, like, listen, this dude's an elite running back. If your guy goes down, you got to pay for that. And if they don't want to, fine, walk from the table. There's nothing wrong with walking away. I've found sometimes I'll walk away and then they'll come back and be like, all right, now about this? And then they'll give me more of what I want. You know, it's a good little element of strategy there. All right, Green Bay and the Rams, Tucker Kraft. I don't think this is fully sustainable, but Tucker Kraft goes out 4 for 88 and 2. He is quite good, though. Like, he's actually playing more like Luke Musgrave than what I thought Luke Musgrave, like, I thought Luke Musgrave was going to be this guy, and he's playing more like that than Luke Musgrave is. So that's good for Tucker Kraft. Jacobs gets in the end zone. Wasn't a huge game for him, but I'll take that. Jaden Reed comes back to the pack, but if 4 for 78 is his floor, okay. Now, do you see what I mean a little bit about Dontavian Wicks? 2 for 20 on 7 targets. Boom or bust. When Watson comes back, he will go back ahead of Wicks. Nothing wrong with you picking him up, but people spending 60% of their fab on this dude might have made a mistake. Now, Romeo Doubs. So I can tell you a little bit here, but I can't tell you much. I'm not going to get into the details because it's really not, they're not my details to share. There is a lot more to the story than he was a diva and he skipped practices. I'll leave it at that. He was suspended, as the team should have done. Like, he was rightfully suspended. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think there's a lot more to this that will ultimately get straightened out. I do not see the team moving on from him, and I see him coming right back into his role. Let's just leave it at that, okay? Jordan Whittington, 10 targets, 7 for 89. My guy, I love this. Now, granted, once Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp are back in the mix, we're not going to see this kind of workload. But, man, how about Jordan Whittington? I'm loving what we're seeing so far out of him. Tutu Atwell, 6 for 58. He saw 10 targets, and Colby Parkinson saw 13, 7 for 52. That is the Stafford, you know, distribution that we want to see. He goes 260 and 1. Like, Stafford's not doing anything amazing, but now he has some guys that he's trusting. And of course, DeMarcus Robinson gets the touchdown, but he's got some guys who he's trusting. And then Kyren Williams is just a touchdown machine. 22 for 102 and a score. And guess what? Blake Corum, 5 for 25. Now, he had a goal line carry he got stopped on, and then Williams came in and just punched it. And he's like, hey, kid, hold my beer. I'll show you how to do this. But the answer is clear. Like, Blake Corum is the handcuff. If you have Kyren Williams and you want a handcuff, you should have Blake Corum. Blake Corum should not be a consideration as a player to drop. Just putting that out there. Let's see. Daniel Jones and the New York Giants taking down Seattle. How about that? Daniel Jones has 6 passing touchdowns, 0 interceptions on the road this season. All 3 of his interceptions have come at home. 257 and 2. This is clean football. And this was without Malik Nabers. Clean football. Darius Slayton ends up just stepping into Malik Nabers' role, so ended up not being Wandale Robinson. Robinson was fine. He had 6 for 36 and a touchdown. But Slayton, okay, 8 for 122 and a score. Somebody had thanked me. I guess I had mentioned Slayton on the SiriusXM show as a DFS option. I don't know if they played him in season-long, but he was not a season-long option for me. But hey, whatever, man. Whatever works. Ty Tracy, 18 for 129. He did look a little bit more effective than Singletary. I don't think Singletary loses his job, but I do think Tracy gets more reps. So if you picked up Tracy this past week like I did, that was like dumb luck that ended up working out for me. But if you picked him up, like, let's see what we have here. You know, this is the time of year where we start to see rookies assert themselves, and then November is where it really crystallizes. So let's see. Over to the other side. Geno, 284, another big game. Like, later in the game, he put up some decent numbers. He still leads the league in passing yards. He ran well in this one, 4 for 72. So in like what could have been like a really crappy game, because that's what it looked like for most of the game, he ends up putting up decent fantasy points. Not worried about Metcalf. I actually give credit where credit's due to Deontay Banks. He stepped up here. This was his best game of the season and maybe the best game of his career. Did a great job on DK. Smith and Jigba gets in the end zone. Lockett has 75 yards. Okay. Kenneth Walker had 7 catches, 8 targets. That's a lot. 7 for 57. He went 5 for 19 on the ground. So this is what I love about 3-down backs. And ordinarily, that's not Kenneth Walker. He salvaged a fantasy day despite like not having good numbers on the ground. Like, salvaged it. Like, it wasn't great, but he got you 12.7 PPR points just as a pass catcher. Now, granted, you only had 1.9 of that as a runner, but still, I like that. That is encouraging. Charbonnet is still more just a bench guy, like an applied value bench guy. If Walker goes down, though, we know Charbonnet can be an RB1. All right, we rounded out with a boring Monday night game, Dallas and Pittsburgh. Dallas, I mean, Dak did have 352 and 2. The 2 going to Tolbert, which, hey, 7 for 87. Like, he really sees the opportunity with Brandon Cooks going to IR. And then Rico Dowdle. So Dowdle had 22 touches. Zeke had 6. The snaps are closer than that. Like, if you actually looked at just snaps, you would have thought the touch distribution would have been a lot closer. So it's 38 snaps for Dowdle, 23 for Elliott. So 51% for Dowdle, 31% for Elliott. But it was not close. This is Dowdle's backfield. He didn't look that bad against a very tough Pittsburgh defense and put up decent fantasy numbers getting in the end zone as well. So he and Tolbert, you know, Dowdle needs to be owned across the board, and Tolbert's trending up big time. I know there was, you know, CeeDee said something to Dak. It looked like he said subpar throw or something like that. If you read the lips, as Collinsworth said, fine. I'm not overly concerned. Like, yeah, he didn't throw to him really after that in the game, but I'm not overly concerned. Fergbaum continuing, 6 for 70 for the Fergbaum. I like that right there. Over to the other side, do you see my concerns for Justin Fields, or is it just me? Now, he had 2 passing scores. One goes to Freiermuth. Freiermuth's been a top 15 fantasy tight end every week this season. Every week. but not a high ceiling. I mean, 3 for 22. They got the touchdown. I'm not overly concerned about Pickens. Yes, he was off the field for a little bit at times, but not overly concerned. Like, he's a boomer bust wide receiver three. And Najee being Najee against a, you know, what should be a tough defense, and they were in this game. 14 for 42. Yay. 2 for 35. Yay. Najee being Najee. Not much we can do there. Not much at all. Hey, one thing unrelated to all of this, we are hearing 6 to 8 weeks on Rashi Rice. So he gets the same timetable as Isaiah Pacheco. That means he could be back, but that's really late in the season. If you wanted to move on from him, I don't blame you. If you have an IR spot and you want to hold on to him for that long, I don't blame you. That timetable could change too as we move forward, but that is what we are currently hearing. All right, so tomorrow on the show, I will come back. I will talk about what we see in Monday Night Football, and then we'll dive into the latest news, and I'll give you the top 10 waiver ads of the week. And yeah, usually like the top guys are widely rostered, fine, but I know not all those top 10 are. And then, of course, this week, I think I have 35 guys already in the tool as of now at ftnfantasy.com, and I'm just going to continue there. Usually it's around 50 that I get to with the defensive streamers and all that. All right, so that's ftnfantasy.com. Remember, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Keep reviewing this show on Apple as well, Apple Podcasts, because that helps this show get out there more. The more downloads, the more listens that I get, the more I can do with this show. Like, believe me, I want to do so much more with this. But as of right now, hey, it's got to generate some dough for me to do the show. And you could help me with that by just rating and reviewing. Give it a 5-star. Please don't do the thing the one guy did. He's like, I'm giving this 1-star. I really love it, but I don't want anybody else to find out about it. It's like, bro, come on, man. Please. It's like, you know, like rating an employee, like, hey, this employee was so great. I only want him for me, though. So I am going to make sure that I give him a crappy review. Don't do that. All right. At Jeff Rackliff on Twitter, at Jeff Rackliff on Instagram. Enjoy Monday Night Football. And I'll talk to you tomorrow on the flip side. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.